holding in our search for Yeshua. Time that one reflects over the past year. And over the past year, Baruch Hashem, there's been lots of simchas. I think one of the most widely read publications in Manchester is the Medos. Comes out every Friday, come out. And, you know, if you had a look at the Medos every Friday, Baruch Hashem, every single week, Sham Zochas and Kedushim, baby girls, or Eifruf, and Bar Mitzvahs, come out every week, every category is filled, Baruch Hashem. And not only here in Manchester, London, Gateshead, Lakewood, Muncie, New York, or Yerushalayim, B'nai B'rach, Baruch Hashem, it was a year of Simchas and a year of miracles. I don't think that we've been through a year that we've witnessed so many open miracles. Even 2 days before Rosh Hashanah, when Iran sent 180 ballistic missiles, and not one yid was killed from it. That itself is an open miracle. On the other hand, there's also a year of lots of tzaros. Everybody knows what was going on in Eretz Yisrael, the uncertainty in Eretz Yisrael and around the world. You can call it a fearful year. They say fear, F-E-A-R, is Rosh Tevis in English for forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. So comes the Seris Metshuva, right? And we're preparing for Yom Kippur, the Gemara, Chesim Teva. So we yes, it is a fearful time. It's still very uncertain times in Eretz Yisrael, but we take the chizuk. I want to begin with a maisa with that happened with Rabbi Zechariah Wallerstein, Zechariah Devracha. As many of you know, he was a yid that lived in America who had a tremendous heart. He felt that tsar, so many of the struggling teenagers, and he opened up a maisid for struggling girls and a seminary for struggling girls. And one day he was dealing with a girl who really got into very, very bad ruts. And she was addicted to drugs, hardcore drugs. And the only way to save her was to send her to a rehab program where she's there for 30 days. It wasn't just a therapy once a week. It's like a boot camp. You go there for 30 days, intense therapy, 12 hours a day, and they sort of like reset the brain and they really work with the teenager. But it cost us $45,000. And he didn't have the money, and nor did she. So he went to a very wealthy man, a generous man, and he said, listen, I have this girl, and it's mamish b'koach nefesh. She's going to overdose. She's going to be another carbon. We mamish need to save it. Tassos nefoshes. Would you be willing to sponsor her $45,000 for her rehab program? So he said, I want to meet her. So he comes with her, and they meet this wealthy person. And this yid, this wealthy gevir, turns around and says, tell me, why should I invest in you? Jesus, you know, typical American teenager sitting there chewing gum. You know, he says, I don't know. Okay, chewing gum. So he says, $45,000 is a lot of money. You know, tell me, why should I invest in you? And what you should have said is, because if you invest in me and I go to this program, I'll be clean. I won't have any more drugs. And then I'll be able to get on with my schooling. I'll go to college. I'll get a degree. And I'm going to get married. I'm going to have children, grandchildren. For future generations, it's all your schus. But that's not what she said. She just said, I don't know. So he said, if I send you to this program, can you guarantee me that you're going to be clean when you're finished? You're going to stay off drugs? She says, I don't know. So he turned around to Rabbi Wallerstein and said, if she's not willing to invest in herself, then why should I? Have a good day. And he walks out. And it's a mashal, because when we come to Aseres Metshuva and Yom Kippur, we're asking the Rabbeinu Shlomo to invest in us. Give us chayim. Give us health. Give us wealth. Give us nachas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us the question, why should I invest in you? And Chas V'Shalom, you have a yid who says, well, I don't know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I'm not going to waste my money. I'm not going to waste my energy. But if a yid turns around to Rabbeinu Shalom and says, Rabbeinu Shalom, invest in me, do you know why? I'm going to try to daven properly. I'm going to try to learn. I'm going to try to do chesed. I'm going to try to be there for the keilah. I'm going to try to be a good yid. I'm going to try to be a halacha yid. Because Rocha says, okay, then I'll invest in you. Right? But if a person is not willing to invest, then it's just going to hurt us more than it's going to help. I want to explain this with a mashal. It's not a 100% accurate mashal, and I'll tell you why afterwards. But it's a nice mashal. Here in the United Kingdom, there's something called Dragon's Den. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah.
Dragon's Den in America, it's called the Shark's Tank. Right? And in other countries, they do it. Basically, you have a group of 5-6 very, very wealthy people. And they sit in a room, it's called like a den, and they're all sitting there with piles of cash. And people who have new ideas come in, and they're looking for an investor. And these people are very, very wealthy and very well connected. They can open up all doors in all supermarkets or something with pharmaceutical goods. They have loads of chemists that they have connections. And their social media platforms are tremendous, right? They like your product, they can put it on their social media platform and I'll get loads of publicity. And this Gavir is sitting there, people come in, they say, you know, I made a new energy drink, or a new this, or a new that, and I invested in it, and if you invest in me, if you give me £75,000 or £100,000, I'll give you 4% stake or 5% stake in my business, right? And they're an investor, they're called a dragon, they get on board and they help you and they promote your products. So people come in and you can actually, it's, say the word, but it's a TV program, you can watch it. That's quite fascinating to see how people come in, and these guys are sitting there, and they have their product on display, and they say, look, you know, I made this new idea, and you know, it's making money, and you know, well, it's only the first year that I'm into it, 2 years into this, you know, I'm willing to set, you know, £150,000, you invest in me, you'll get 10% stake. And then they get asked questions. You know, what does it cost to manufacture? How long have you been going for? What's your gross profit? Loss? What's your projection? Year one, year two, year three? And there's some people who sell it well, and they get one or two dragons on board, one of these two rich, wealthy chevra on board, and they can take their product and really, really expand it. But then you get chevra who come, and they fumble with the numbers. Well, I don't know, and they say, well, what was your gross profit last year? Well, I made 100,000. Okay, that was your turnover, but what was the profit? Well, I don't know. What's your projection for year one? And then they fumble with the numbers, and sometimes these wealthy chevra turn around and they said, you know, I see that you're a clever person, and you got a good product there, but you got no business acumen. You don't know how to run a business. So I'm not investing in you. I'm out. And if all five of them say I'm out, then the person walks out without an investment. You know, so it comes. Come to Rabbeinu Shalom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you want me to invest in you. What's your product? Why should I invest in you? So Rabbeinu Shalom says, I'm learning Torah. Hashem says, what are you learning? I go to Daf Yomi every day. So Hashem says, what's your turnover? So I turned over 365 blat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, profit or loss? Rabbeinu Shalom, profit or loss? Like, what do you mean? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you not know profit or loss? Like, what is he? Gross profit or gross? Like, what do you want? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm saying this. You turned over 365 daf. Yeah, with your phone out, looking at your phone every 5 minutes. Did you make chazorah? Yeah. What was it like? Was the taka a profit in that learning or not? So, Rabbi Shalom says, what else? What else? Yeah. He said, Rabbi Shalom, may a brachas every day. Yeah, I said, 36,500 brachas this year. That was the last 12 months. Projection, next 12 months, another 36,500 brachas. So the Shrachas says, okay, profit or loss? What do you mean? I turned up, I said all these brachas. So Baruch Hashem says, okay, but you mechaven shem Hashem. How did you say the brachas? Was it a prophet or a loss? And then the Baruch Hashem goes through, what else do you have? I said, over 1,100 tefillos. 3 tefillos a day with the Yom Tovim. Next year, the projection is another 1,100 Shemona Esrei and tefillos. And again, the Baruch Hashem asks, is it a prophet? Are you Mekadoshim Shemaim? Is the tefillah mamish with the Kuvayt Shemaim and the Kuvayt Beis HaKnesses that it demands? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns around to a person and says, look, I can see that you're a clever person, you're not stupid, and your product is a good product, Torah, tefillah, but you got no business acumen. You don't understand that what you have to turn it into a profit. And if Hashem says, I'm out, that's bad news. So it's a nice mashal, but the mashal's wrong. And the reason why the mashal's wrong is because the Ribbono Shel Olam is not a dragon. He's not a dragon. The dragons have one thing in mind. Geld, money, and geld. It's their own pockets. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not interested in himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be matzliach. So if we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, yes, actually I should have done a bit more chazara. Maybe yes, Ribbono Shel Olam, I should have had more kavanah in the Shem Hashem when I made the bracha. I should have stopped for a moment. I'm making a bracha as a yotzah. I saw recently when I think the Rebbe Shmelka used to spend 45 minutes on the bracha as a yotzah. The tefillah of Shemona Esrei was a quarter of an hour. Yeah, on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, a quarter of an hour. But the as a yotzah every day was 45 minutes. Yeah, when you make as a yotzah, it's 45 minutes every day. The tefillah of Shemona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah go a bit quicker. Right, but that was just as a yotzah. Vos is a brocha ashayotza. Yeruchim Levov is Mashkiach Chameh. It describes, you know, sometimes if somebody has, you know, gallstones in the bladder, you know, it's one little tiny, tiny little thing in his body that shouldn't be there. Operations, it's tutzach, an appendix out. The person has to be hospitalized because there's one thing in the body at the moment is not functioning and has to be removed. And a person has excess foods, which the body has taken all the nutrients from it, and then the body has to release it, and the person goes to the Beis HaKisei, and no major operations, no consultants and surgeons. He manages just to go to the Beis HaKisei, does what he needs to do, and comes out a few minutes later, well, healthy, doesn't have to recuperate. He says, really, a person should send a telegram home. I came out, Baruch Hashem, everything's okay. It's an amazing procedure that just goes so smoothly. So we thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Asher Yatzah. I'm not giving Musa, I'm just chizik for myself as much as you. You know, make a bracha Asher Yatzah, like the Rebbe Shmuel, a few minutes, a few seconds even, you know, Asher Yatzah. And we tell the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, yes, I want to be better. I know I'm not perfect, but the Rebbe says, you want? Amen. I'll invest in you. So that's the time we come now. We tell the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I want. The mancha, I want to do it for your sake. I want to be ma'abur kaved shemayim. I think many of you must probably remember Yaakov Yosef Weiss, the Rosh HaShoichtim, used to live over here in Manchester. A war survivor. He survived the camps. And he says over a Maisa that happened one Erev Yom Kippur. It was Erev Yom Kippur in Birkenau. And there was a massive selectia. Right? There was 2,500 children there. And Dr. Mengel Yemach Shomei V'Zichra came. And he was walking around, everybody standing there, Mamsha Pachet Movas. And he turns around, he finds one boy, and he says, come here. A bit of a tall boy. And he says, stand over here. And there's like a board, and he draws a line by the head of the boy. And he says, anybody who can reach up, his head reaches up to here, to the right, everybody else to the left. So to the left, they knew what that meant. It meant to the gas chambers. And he says he'll never forget. There was this one boy called Toby Green, a bit of a short boy, and he comes past, and he tries to step on the stiffy toes to reach the board, and he doesn't. And Mengel Yemach Shomei says, "See the links, go to the left." He goes to the left, and he figures, you know, there's so many people here. Mengel won't have. I'm going to try again. So he goes back into the line, and he tries again. And Mamish like jumps up, you know, but he still misses it. And Mengel Yemach Shomei screams, "Sidelinsk!" goes, ah, chesh chaim, and he said, no, I'm not killing him. And he goes once more to the crowd, and he comes back, and just about hits. And Mengel Yamach Shmai says, to the lynx. And Rabbi Yaakov Yosef says that it's etched in his memory. This boy, Toby, turns around to Mengel Yamach Shmai, and he screamed at him, Ich will leben, ich will arbeiten, I want to live, I want to work. And he says in that biggest barbaric animal, there's this tiny spark of humanity. And he said to him, Du willst leben? Du willst arbeiten? You want to live? You want to work? Zu der rechts. And he went to the right. When we come to Rebbe Shalom, so we know Rachman, I have the level of our dollars to Manga, but we come to Rebbe Shalom, we know Rachman. And we tell Rebbe Shalom, Zecheinu l'chaim, because Zecheinu b'seif l'chaim, l'mancha, I want to do it for your sake, I want to be married with Rebbe Shalom. I want to learn Torah, I want to do chesed, I want to be there for my family, I want to be there for the kehil, I want to be there for other people. L'mancha, for your sake, Rebbe Shalom, I want to live, I want to be married with Rebbe Shalom. Yeah, there's no question about it, that the Rebbe Shalom, Taka turns around and says, say that. That's what you want, that's what you want, I'm going to do it for you. The Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, Rav Yerushalayim, says over a story, of course it's not true, it's a mashal, but he says that there was a king, the lion was the melech, the king of the chayas, and the lion was celebrating a birthday. So all the animals had to come and bring a gift. Give best wishes to the lion, the melech of the chayos, and give a gift. The fox didn't know what to get. So he came empty-handed. So the king's advisors, the melech, the lion's advisors, are saying, you know, it's not right. The fox comes, doesn't bring a gift. The fox is known for his clever heart. I think he should give his heart as a gift to the lion. The lion was about to be outfoxed, and he realized, what's going to happen over here? So he tells the lion, you know, it's true, my heart is very clever, but I don't take it with me wherever I go, because it's so special. I actually keep it at home, locked in a safe. If you give me a minute, I'll run home, and I'll go and get it, and I'll bring it to you. And the king said, the lion said, all right, run home, go get it. Right? And of course he ran off as fast as his legs can carry him, never to be heard of again. Right? And he says, Azeh hayo dovi libeinu, Rishi Dushinsky says, with this, dovi libeinu, our hearts are in pain. Al eile choshko aneinu, al hatziyon sheshomein, the Beis HaMikdash that's destroyed, shu'alim holchuboy, there are foxes that are running around. And he says, sometimes the Yidin were like foxes, shulim hilchubay, azed dovidi beinu, because sometimes a person's heart is left at home. Rachmana libibay, because Shmuchu wants our heart, he wants us to daven for the Beis HaMikdash, he wants us to daven for Mashiach, he wants us to daven for the Geula. And if we look in the themes of Rosh Hashanah, davening, and Yom Kippur davening, the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, is all about davening for the Geula Shleima. Davening for the Geula Shleima. The whole machlokes of Rosh Hashanah, whether you're allowed to daven for personal needs or not. Some people say, yes, the Von the Goyen brings down the Zoya, and a person shouldn't daven for personal needs. It's like, Zoya says, Hanikabi de Chatzifin, like Chutzpah de Katoks, I come and say, have. A person has to daven for bigger things. Others say that, no, you should daven for personal things, but it should be Lamancha for your sake. But Akoponim, at this time of the year, when Klai Yisrael went through such a sorrow, of course, we're davening for Shalom and Eretz Yisrael, and everybody davens for their own individual needs. But we have to raise our asogas. We have to daven for Kvod Shemayim, daven for the third Beis HaMikdash, daven for the Geula Shleima. We can't leave our hearts at home. Achmona Lieberberg, who wants our hearts to daven properly for the real things, for the Geula Shleima. That's what we really want. That's the true Malchus, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is shown in the whole world. The Chofetz Chaim once went to the Radina Magid, the Magid of Radin. His name was Rabbi Yom HaNatzadik. And he said to him, why is the Golus so long? And Golus was so long, why is it so long? And he turned around and he said,
A mashal.
As a maggid would normally say, give a mashal. It's a story of people that were traveling in the middle of the Russian winter nights. Yeah, it was freezing, freezing cold, icy cold. And a few chavra traveling in a wagon, gets dark, and it's getting even colder, the dark Russian freezing nights. So they take out a bottle of mashka, they drink a little bit, they say a few kapitach tilim, they schmooze, and they fall asleep. A pistol unkashikets, and they fall asleep. And they're sleeping, they're sleeping, they sleep about 10 hours. They wake up, it's still dark outside. Well, it's actually day, and it got dark again. Right, and it's dark outside. So they drink a bit more, a few more kapitach tilim, they schmooze a little bit more, and they fall asleep. Another 10 hours, they wake up, it's still dark outside. So they turn around to the wagon driver, yeah, to the person that's taking them. How long is the night? He says, how long is the night? It was night, it was day, it was night again, and it's back night again. You missed it. You missed it. So he says, in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Masa Duma. Masa Duma is, one of the children of Yishmael. It's referring to Golus Yishmael, the Golus of the Arabs, that was suffering at the hands of the Arabs. And we turn around to the Shema, and we say, Shema, Mami Laila, Shema, Mami Leil. Why is the night so long? Why is the Golus so long? Omar Shema, the Shema says, Asa Baika Vagam Laila. The morning came, and it's going back to night again. If you want to daven, daven. Shavu, Esu, do tshuva, and that will bring the Gula. It's a long, bitter night, a bitter Golus of the hands of Yishmael, Master Duma, the Golus of Yishmael. And we tell Rabbi Nishan, it's a long year, such a long year, dark year of Golus. Yeah. And the Shama Shema, also both of the Gamlai, there are opportunities. There are opportunities that we can daven. And to bayu bayu, if you want to daven, daven to Rabbi Nishan, it's a kaycha tefillah rachman alibi bayu. And that's the Aseris Metshuva, it's a kaycha tefillah, the Shbrocha answers, even a yochid. It's like a tzibur. When a person at home, you're traveling in the car, you're driving, you say a kapitel tilim, it's so super, super powerful. It was over 80 years ago, during World War II, Tovshim Gimel, and Cheskel Sarna, the Chevener Rosh Hashiva, was giving a drosha before Tekiyos, when they just found out, it was in Chevener Yeshiva, in Eretz Yisrael, and they found out, mamish then, what was happening in the camps, in Auschwitz and the different camps in Europe, Yidum of Mamishka and Geshochtem. And Reb Cheskel Sarna is going Chevron is a branch of Slavotka. Slavotka was always godless Adam, the greatness of a person, and how great a Yid is, and a Yid has a Neshama. And Reb Cheskel Sarna got up to give a drosha before Tekiyos, and he says, Chevron Yeshiva was Slavotkanikas, we always talk about the godless Adam. How great the Yid is, how great Klal Yisrael is. Because how can we talk about godless Adam when the Klal Yisrael are at the lowest level, the shiftless, they're being killed by the thousands, millions, they're being butchered, gassed. You know, the Mamish Klal Yisrael is at its lowest point. The shiftless of Klal Yisrael, and yet, we're Slabotka, godless, the greatness of the Yid. Well, what greatness is there? So he said, Amaita Kazakh, he says, if there's a Yid in the camps, what's he davening for? What's he davening to the Rabbeinu Shalom? He says, Mishrabali, he davens to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom, please, give me 10 seconds before I get killed that I should be able to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And Rabbeinu Shalom, if you're really, really kind to me, let me be Zeicha to Kavuras Yisrael. And Cheskel Sarna said, if that's what a Yid is davening for, he doesn't know the koyach of a Yid. Really, he should be davening Rabbeinu Shalom. Yod Avinu Avraham. Obviously, there's a shas akas at this time. Yeah, but there's a koyach of tshuva. If I do tshuva, and all of Klal Yisrael do tshuva, then we'll be zoich to Yad Ba'amim Tachteinu, Ule'umim Tachas Regleinu, that we'll be able to, we'll have the other nations mamish under our feet, that my foot should be on top of the head of every Nazi. He says, that's the koyach of tefillah. Right? So sometimes people daven and they don't maximize the koyach of tefillah. Right? Especially this time of the year, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, we have to maximize the koyach of tefillah. Not just daven, of course. We daven for our small things that we need. They're not so small. Gesundheit, Parnassah, Nachas, these are major things, but we also have to daven for the Kvod Shemayim, for the Geula, and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to invest in us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the best for us. And we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, we want, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka gives us. Taka give us what we need. There's a Meriduk HaMaisa, which just shows this tremendous chizik. It was a Yid in Eretz Yisrael. He was a car thief. He used to steal cars. Los Gvenza and Parnoso. He used to steal cars. A ganav. He knew how to lock up the wires and get the engine going, and he would steal cars. And one day, it was in the summer, he picks the lock of the car, and he opens up the engine and starts the motor, and he gets into the car, and he hears a baby crying in the back seat. Obviously, the parents left the baby. He turns around, he sees the baby is blue in the face, and he realizes they don't have time to call that soul. It's a matter of seconds, and he takes the car, zooms to the nearest hospital, straight to the emergency room, comes in holding the baby. They realize in the emergency room the baby mamash has a few minutes left, and they quickly take the baby in and they work on the baby. 45 minutes later, they come out and they tell this person, your child is okay, we saved your child, stabilized it, you'll be able to take the baby home soon, and this is what you'll need to do. And he says, it's not my child. So what do you mean it's not your child? So straight away he has to think of so he has to come up with something. So he says, I actually work for Chaverim, and I saw this baby in the car, and I realized that it's like dying, it was left in a hot car. So I just quickly went, and I work for Chaverim, I know how to open up cars and get cars started. And I quickly got the car started, and I rushed to hospital, I'm just a good yid helping someone, trying to save a Jewish kid. Well, who are the parents? I don't know. Got no idea. Now, in Israel, you have to keep the insurance papers in the glove compartment. If you get stopped, you have to produce your insurance papers. He said, okay, well, let's go into the car and let's rumble through the papers. Maybe in the glove compartment, we'll find out who the owner is. So that's what they did, and they found out who the owner is. And they called up the parents, and the parents were mum's crying away. They cut that they left the child in the car, and the car's gone, and what is the baby okay? He said, yes, your baby's right. And Taka mum's emergency bachesed from Chaverim, and he saw what was happening, and he got your car started, and mum's brought the baby straight to hospital. And his parents come running down and hug the baby. Ah, mum's hodul Hashem ki tov ki lam chazdei. And they're so happy. And they turn around to the seat, mum's yashikoyach, thank you so much. Here we want to pay you 1,000 shekel. No, I'm not taking any money. No. He said, please, you have to come to us for Shabbos. Come to us for Shabbos. We want to express our course, our type. He figured if he just says no, then maybe the chap who he is and remembers he's a ganav. All right, I'll come to Shabbos. I'll come to you for Shabbos. So he comes to Shabbos. He's there after the Suda. Family put on a zah spread. Mamish like the biggest Shom Zocha out. And the whole kehillah come. And the mamish like a Suda Saidor. The Baruch Hashem, the baby was saved. And everybody that walks in, the father turns around to this year. He's the hero. He's the tzaddik. He's that Lam Levav tzaddik. He saved my child. And he's sitting there. His mom's feeling so uncomfortable. He's a ganav. That's what he does. He goes and steals cars. The whole thing was posher to save his own skin. He feels so uncomfortable. But Shayin, there's a bit of mashke and a couple of bottles of beer on the table. So he had the beer and the mashke and helped him get along through the night. Next morning, the host has come to Shacharis, come to Shacharis, after Kaddish, after Shacharis, after davening. There's a spread like you've never seen. Azak Kiddush, invite the Nachas, Sudu Zaydor, for the Ganser Kehillah, Cholon, Kishka, Gigal, everything, Alam Mashka, and everybody that comes in, he says, this is a tzaddik. He's feeling so uncomfortable, he can't bear it. Bashar Shudus, the host says, you should know, I have a Chacham, a Rav, his mamash, and I'm going to get you in. I'm going to get you in, and you get a brocha from him. And he says, no, I don't want to go. I'm interested in going. He says, no, come. I'll get you a brocha from my tzaddik, from my rov. He schleps him along. He comes into the tzaddik, this rov. And he says, he tells the host, do you mind going out for a minute? I just want to have a private word. So he has the host goes out, it's just him and the Rav. And he tells the Rav, I'm a ganav. Do you understand? I can't stand this. I'm a ganav. I steal cars. I happen to steal a car with a baby in it. So the Rav says, well, I don't understand, but you saved the Jewish life? So he says, yeah, I saved the baby's life. He says, I'm a Rav for 40 years and I never had that opportunity to save a life. And you saved a life. What a schus you have. So he says, well, Lord Tzadik, what schus? I'm a gun if I steal cars. The Rav tells him, you must have a schus. The Akash Baruch gave you the opportunity to do this, to save a life. I don't have any schusim. I'm a ganav, I'm finished. He said, you must have a schusim. He goes, I'll tell you, maybe when I break into a car, very often I look in the insurance papers. If I see that the person's insurance is only third party, fire and theft, and he doesn't have comprehensive insurance, I leave the car. Why should I steal the car and then be left without a car? If I see that he has full comprehensive insurance, I don't feel so bad because I feel the insurance will pay him out for the car, so I steal the car. So the Rav says, ah! He says, that's your schus. Yeah? Even when you're a ganav, the way you steal, you care about other people. And he says, the schus that the Rabban Shalom is bringing you back. Because the Rabban Shalom wants you. Yeah? Sometimes a person feels, who am I and what am I? It's not true. It doesn't matter who a person is. Yeah, especially important for the younger generation, you know, that sometimes you have a struggling teen and there's so many averas, and Gishbaruch hates me. It's not true. Gishbaruch wants to invest in us. He wants us to do everything to bring a yid back. Crazy stories, just to get this yid back and connect it to the Rabbi Shalom. And if a yid comes to the Rabbi Shalom and says, Rabbi Shalom, invest in me. I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to try that little bit better than the Rabbi Shalom says beside. I'll finish up with one. You know, this Elo, we lost some very, very great people. Very great people. Sklana Rebbe, Meridik Tzadik. And one of the other great people that we lost was Ram Osband. He's Rosh Yeshiva of Riverdale. Meridik Rosh Yeshiva in America. And he had a sudden heart attack and he was nifter. I tell you, Meridigan Meister, a very short Meister with him. He used to go when he was shvach and he needed, you know, to regain his strength. He used to go to Florida, get the sunny weather in Florida. And he used to daven in a certain shul. And he always stood in the back. And the Rav knew that this is Rosh Yeshiva of Riverdale. He used to come and say, Rosh Yeshiva, come to the Mizrach. And you would say, no, stay in the back. One year, the Rosh Hashiva comes over, the Rav comes over to him and says, Rosh Hashiva, you're the great Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva, there are hundreds and hundreds of Tamidim. Why do you always so persistent? You don't want to sit in the front, you're the Rosh Hashiva, you belong in the Mizrach. Why are you always sitting in the back? So he says, the Mechitza is not so good. The problem is with the Mechitza is not, it's not a proper Mechitza. So the Rav turns around to him and says, you know, but I'm sure you know that according to Ramesha, the Mechitza is good. According to Ramesha Weinstein, the Mechitza is good. And Rabbi Ram Osband turned around and he said, I'm not looking for good. I live my life looking for better. That was his motto. I'm not looking for good. I live my life looking for better. Baruch Hashem, we're all good yidden. We daven, we learn, we do chesed. We're all good yidden. Rabbi Hashem says, but can you do that a little bit better? What are you doing? You're making the brachos. Chamashim Shemayim, one bracha, two brachas a day. We're doing good, a little bit better. We tell Rabbi Shalom, yes, I'm going to do it a little bit better. Invest in me because you're going to see the projection for next year. Yeah, you're going to see the investments. You're going to see it rise. Lemancha, for your sake, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be married to Kvod Shemayim. And the bracha says, Satan, I'm in. I'm fully behind you. I'm going to back you. I'm going to invest in you. So bracha should help us. Yeah, attack of good people. We should continue all the good that we're doing. Do that little bit better. And attack of zeichet to gemachis and tov a good bench to you, for you and your families and all of Klal Yisrael. Amen.